Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
You like that on 3-1-2-3? You like that? You like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kirk Cousins, man. This is his time of year, baby.
The Super Bowl media row stuff he's doing is just, it's on. Justin Jefferson doing it. We're getting a lot of interesting stuff.
The radio row stuff is interesting, but Kirk Cousins starring every year now with his shirt off at the NFL Awards
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't think this one was, because it's not a surprise now.
I was a little surprised. He's coming off a torn Achilles. He's out there with Cam Jordan, who's been crapping on him on all these mic'd up clips that are floating around.
Well, I mean, he's also showing you up on stage dancing that the Achilles is fine.
Right?
Like if you were gonna short me 10 mil, you think again, the Achilles is fine. Yeah. I'm dancing.
Look at these magic mic moves right now.
I'm a dancing machine.
You want this in your locker?
And look at the shape I'm in. Like, I am ripped. I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but Patrick Mahomes shirt off looks like a dad bod. Kirk Cousins shirt off looks like he belongs on the beach.
Just like Kirk Cousins' statistics and box score look like an 8-pack, right? Oh, they look like an 8-pack.
We got to go there.
Is more of a dad bod, unfortunately.
You know what? After Thor's J.J. McCarthy-related appearance yesterday, who needs Kirk?
Dude, have you seen, Thor put that clip up on Twitter of him, his like 3-minute rant about how JJ McCarthy is a stud who's going to be top 12, right? And there's a huge fight that's been raging for 24 hours, and we're all tagged on this, between Michigan fans and people there's like Ohio State fans in there that are arguing back, and it's hilarious.
My timeline is an inferno of just people trying to fight, and I'm like, I almost have nothing to do with this. Like, Thor's great. I love him. It's his take, but
yeah,
I can't even contribute, really.
Hey, on the Kirk thing, here's a question for you guys. If you're Kirk's agent and once again, he was on McAfee yesterday and reiterating, they clearly have talking points, Kirk and his camp, reiterating again that we're really not going to know much until March, because March is when everybody can start bidding, right? So he really wants to see what the market floats. If you're Kirk's agent, in the presentation with the Falcons, hey, we got to know how healthy our guy is. You show him some video from the Magic Mike dance, right? You show him, you should, if my guy can move like this on stage in front of a national audience right now, why would you not give him $45 million?
You think there's an Achilles problem? Look at him move. Look at the shape.
Was that a moonwalk? Look at that.
This guy is in fantastic shape.
That scar too. He showed on McAfee was Bruce. I mean, that's a scar, man. Did you guys see how he like showed up his foot to the camera? I mean, that thing is ugh.
Yeah, they got to go in and fix that sucker.
Yeah, that's a battle wound for sure. Hey, before we get to Feedback Friday here and turn this show over to you guys and get to as many of your hot takes and reckless speculation and whatever's in this bin today, a shout out to Quick Trip presenting Purple Daily all throughout this 2023-24 season.
So you're driving home tonight and you need gasoline, just like Declan did
yesterday.
Yesterday when he allowed it to get a little bit low.
Well,
guess what? You are going to go to Quick Trip because that is where you are going to get the only quality gasoline guarantee in town. That's right. What goes in your tank, you are guaranteed it's going to be top shelf stuff. And then, as you just saw, you're like, but Judd, you're talking about gasoline. What about that food I just saw? Well, that's Quick Trip, too. That's Quick Trip, too. All of this, you can get breakfast, lunch, dinner, mealtime. Ladies and gentlemen, just got a whole lot easier, a whole lot simpler. Chicken, bacon, mac and cheese, fettuccine Alfredo with grilled chicken, spaghetti and meatballs. We're not talking the normal quick stop stuff. We're talking the good stuff. Quick Trip is your headquarters for taking care of everything at once.
All right, let's get to some of the Feedback Friday here from you crazy Vikings fans. Nate Voles chimes in and says, I was listening to Kirk's interview with the McAfee Show, and he said that his job is between September and January. His agent's job is from February to training camp. Now, I did not see this particular chunk of the interview. So you can verify that he did this? Okay.
Yeah, so that's what he said.
So his job is September through January. His agent's job is from February until training camp. And Nate says, hey, Kirk, Super Bowls are played in February, not January. Your job shouldn't end with the regular season if you want to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, now I saw this. And in fairness, Kirk basically said the free agency period is when my guy, Mike McCartney, shines. And then he did say, I come back then in the spring because that's when the camp start.
And he's trying to get back. He's telling everyone, I'm coming back for OTA mini camps like May, June.
Yeah. So, you're right. He did not say the month of February, but I'm going to give Kirk a pass here. His point was that look. But this is what we've known, too. I will say this. The interpretation, if you want to go. Conspiracy theory is too strong. If you want to try to like parse apart his words, it's not the fact he said or didn't say February, it's this. And we've talked about this before. You know, for all of those who say, well, yeah, but I mean, I think Kirk would give the team a deal, right? Like, I think Kirk would cut the team a deal. That's not really how this thing operates for Kirk. Like,
it would be happening in February.
Right. But I mean, I'm also saying when you are basically like, my agent takes the wheel. You know, God takes control. In this case, the agent takes control. You are saying, I sit back and wait for what Mike McCartney tells me. I call Mike and say, I really want to stay in purple. Let's cut these guys a deal. So if I'm going to parse apart his words, that I think is accurate. Kirk Cousins, businessman. McCartney, businessman. Business proceeds like trying to help your team with your contract.
No, I think that's a good way to frame it, which is if... Put it this way, the Vikings have made some sort of offer, even going back to last year, and I don't doubt that the Vikings want him back on their terms. Their terms are probably a year-ish guaranteed, you know, $30 million a year, we'll say, something like that. And if Kirk really didn't care about the gap between, let's say, $30 million a year and whatever he thinks the market could get him, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, whatever, like, if he didn't care about that gap, he would sign with the Vikings like Drew Brees signed back with the Saints before hitting free agency 6 years ago, right? And so you're right. It's a great way for him to kind of create some separation and say, hey, man, listen, like all this stuff is kind of out of my control. My agent kind of just handles this stuff. And, you know, however it plays out, it plays out. He's great at creating distance and he's great at kind of hey, you know what? Like, if I'm not back with the Vikings, it's not my fault. You know, it's just my agent was doing business and the Vikings didn't step up to the plate, right?
Is there an athlete, or at least is there an NFL player right now who does a better job currently at crafting his image than Kirk Cousins does?
Boy.
And it sort of evolved from the Netflix thing. So I don't personally think he did as good a job or even close. But since the Netflix thing, is there a player in that league who you think sends a really sanitized, good looking, as far as like, oh yeah, this guy's impressive message than Kirk?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, good point. I feel like that's more genuine, but you're right, and it might not be. I think it is, but yeah.
Well, he's been very strategic. That's a good one. Very strategic with one. The way that he's built up his profile over the years. But I think I'll flip way and say, I can't think of a quarterback that's had less team success, but more national great press and money than Kirk Cousins. Like if you took every quarterback in the last 20 or 25 years and on one part of the scale, it was team success, and you're not fully responsible for all team success, but you are the thing that moves the needle the most for team success, NFL quarterback, right? So on one side, it's team success. And then on the other side, it's how much money you make, how many national endorsements you get, how many national docuseries you get with Netflix, all these things.
Sure.
I don't know that there is a wider gap among any quarterback in the last 20 or 25 years.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, he's never come close to a NFC championship game. And he's made $250 million playing football.
But he's also, right now, it feels like, for the most part, loved by a lot of people as well.
Yeah, but he can be all these things too. Like he can be fun and showing this side of his personality and go shirtless on national TV, and you know, he can be a likable figure. You know, there's room for like three or four different things in this Kirk Cousins stew, but it's just, and by the way, he's made $250 million and he's about to get another like $80 million bag at age 36 coming off an Achilles because of all these other things, right? He's a great guy in the locker room and he is very likable and he's very sanitized and he's, you know, he's got a big smile and he's going on Pat McAfee and doing all these things. Like
he's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Let's see here. Matt Hansen says, you guys have done a lot of talking about what the Vikings should do at quarterback, but one scenario I think you've missed is a worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. Let's just say Kirk gets an offer he can't refuse from the Falcons. And when it comes to drafting a rookie, the ones that you identify are just unobtainable, meaning nobody will let you trade up into the top three, or just simply they get drafted before you can even have a chance. Maybe four guys go before, who knows? What do you think the Vikings should do if they see Kirk walk and they don't get their guy in the first round?
You go bridge guy. You sign one. I don't think that you can say you feel forced into like exceeding what the Falcons potentially offer because you're scared. Plus, I'll go back to what I keep saying. I think the Vikings are in a prime position now to retool in a fairly significant way without a lot of long-term hurt. Like, this team needs, on defense, interior help, potentially edge help. And even with Danielle Hunter back, they might need edge help. They need cornerback help. And I'm not just talking starters. I'm talking depth, okay? So, in my opinion, this is the time to address that. Doesn't mean that you're going to be terrible in 2024. Are you going to be great? Probably not. But I mean, this is then bounce back in 25 and be strong. But if I have to have a cheaper bridge quarterback for a year, I don't think that's like some like, oh my God, this is a Super Bowl team with Kirk. But if it's Gardner Minshew, it's a non-playoff team. Is Kirk going to move the needle that much in 1 year? That's what I would examine and look at. And my response is, yes, he's better than Minshew, but I don't think he's going to get you to a Super Bowl.
Well, and the timelines here, this is the other part. You can't really put these two timelines together. The Kirk Cousins timeline is 2 months before the NFL draft timeline.
Yep.
So you're going to know in 1 month from now, your free agency opens up in like 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. You're going to know in a month what's happening with Kirk. Like, you're not going to get to the draft and you're like still waiting on Kirk to make a decision. He's going to sign with someone for a boatload of money like the second week in March, almost certainly, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't get him, you're not going to just go two more months with only Nick Mullins and right. Jaren Hall on your roster and desperate to get a quarterback. You're right. going to sign, and I know that people are going to cringe at this, but you're going to sign Ryan Tannehill for a year, or Judd mentioned Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett. You're going to sign a competent top 40 quarterback and take your chances and see what happens in the draft, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't just let Kirk, let's say free agency opens, day three, Kirk signs with the Falcons. They definitely would not just be holding out. Well, we have Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall, and we're going to wait until pick 11 to address this need, or we're going to wait till the draft night to make a trade up. One of two things will happen. They'll just sign one of those backups, which they have done before. They have signed Matt Cassel to deals. They've signed guys like that before, or they will facilitate that trade before the draft begins. Mm-hmm. Right, like they would make the trade up to three with right. a month of planning to go, and that would signify, hey, even if we maybe didn't grab one of the better quarterback options, you know what we're going to do at the draft. We're going to take a quarterback with a third overall pick.
They're not going to go to the grocery store starving, right? Well, but
I think that guy's point is what Deck said. If in February and March they are making calls, let's say they're calling the Patriots, Chargers, or something like that, and those teams are like, we need more, and the Vikings finally cry uncle and say we can't, then okay, you're not going to get one of the top QBs. Then Kirk leaves, but to our point, at that point in time, you're prepared to sign a bridge guy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
And you're going to get, it's not like there's only two quarterbacks that are draftable here. There might be five or six first round grade quarterbacks. If you want JJ McCarthy, you can get JJ McCarthy.
Well, and here's my question too, though, to go back to the 2024 season, is there an expectation that if they bring back Kirk, their Super Bowl team like that, that's my question. Like how much, if you're going to win nine games with Kirk, or six games or seven games without Kirk, what's the big difference?
You just brought up a great question, because you just brought up the question that we all asked 6 years ago, which is Kirk Cousins, as a new free agent signing with the Vikings, the final piece to get this thing over the hump into the Super Bowl, right? Is that the case right now? Because I think that's a legitimate discussion among Vikings fans, which is, well, I mean, the Vikings were red hot and then he went down. And the season kind of derailed after he went down. So once he comes back, the Vikings can continue on their Super Bowl trek. Do you think adding Kirk Cousins to this current team as constructed, let's say you bring Daniil back and then you get the number 11 overall pick, right? Is adding Kirk Cousins to that a Super Bowl contending team?
No.
I think fans do look at that because of the state of the NFC. Even though the 49ers have been in championship games, the Lions have popped up here, they look at the NFC as a very weaker conference compared to the AFC. I think that's what they look at.
Some top-heavy, like the Niners.
For sure. But they are, I think even a lot of fans are just shocked, like the Lions, come on. They're like, but the Lions are legit. They look at the Lions as this one-off thing. They look at the Cowboys, you know, always underachieving in the playoffs. They look at Brock Purdy as overrated. They look at Sean McVay maybe in the Rams. Maybe Matthew Stafford is not going to be the quarterback anymore. They look at that opportunity as, no, you just plug in Kirk and we'll run this back and we're one of those top five teams. I think that's way too far-fetched. But there is a faction of fans that definitely believe that.
But then what they have to, I think what gets lost here too is this. So the entire conversation about Kirk largely, I think, starts with roster construction and like how much can be spent on guys. So it's not just like, I love Kirk or I hate Kirk. Consider, take his personality out completely and let's just consider him a piece of a puzzle, okay? He's a huge piece, but unfortunately he also takes away from what else I can do with my puzzle. If you go back, so for all of those who said Kirk was outstanding, and if he doesn't get hurt in Green Bay, this is a playoff team, and they're going to they're going to make a playoff run. I have one question to ask. Did you watch the last month of the season and a defense that, by the way, partially is built the way it's built because you didn't have a lot to spend, and that defense declined? Injuries, because you have no depth. Like, you literally, like, that's a big thing that no one talks about. This team lacks a ton of depth, like quality depth. Injuries and Brian Flores, who I think deserves a ton of credit. Brian Flores' defense started to get exposed because professional offensive coordinators have no life. All they do is look at how to dissect what you're doing and eventually crossing routes. You find things, right? So, okay. So my question again is, if you bring Kirk back, and let's say Kirk's damn near an MVP next year, but you still don't have depth and you still have issues on defense and elsewhere, are you a Super Bowl team? Is he? I guess my question is this. If you're a big Kirk fan, is he Patrick Mahomes?
Well, no, I don't even think big Kirk fans are saying.
But I'm saying if he's not, you cannot expect him to drag you to a Super Bowl.
This would be a much harder decision in terms of bring him back at $35, $40 million or not. If you had the roster that you had 6 years ago, where you've got blue chip studs in their prime on defense, number one defense in the league, you've got Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs in their prime, two of the best receivers in the league, Dalvin Cook in his early prime. I mean, and that's why the initial decision was a no-brainer. One more Kirk thing. There's a few more later, but just one more on this thread from David Goldiger, David has sent a couple charged up emails. He's a big Kirk Cousins fan, so he writes in again and says, I know I get frustrated from time to time. It's okay, David. We're all friends here on the show. Even if we disagree, we all want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl, so we can all come together. He says, but I am passionate with all my Minnesota teams, just like you, and I admit sometimes you guys piss me off pretty bad. It is what it is. But I also have said before, you're all very knowledgeable. I respect that. I know at some point every team has to move on and figure new things out, and I know that the Vikings need to figure out a quarterback situation for life after Kirk, but I just feel like in the end, he will be back. Don't you guys hold any stock in how much his teammates in the entire organization want him back and believe in him? I mean, every player who's been interviewed since the end of the season wants Kirk Cousins back. My wish is that Kirk gets brought back on a 2-year deal. Jaden Daniels is the draft pick, if possible. Or you could go edge at 11 and then come back in the first round and grab somebody later. But what do you make of that? The fact, I mean, now Justin Jefferson actually in his latest interview said, regardless of who the quarterback is, I'm still going to be me and put up numbers and whatever. Yes. So, but what do you make of just, and by the way, the front office can't want him back that badly. They've yet to offer him the contract. They've been negotiating for a year and they've yet to offer him anything that he's signing. So,
Supposedly last March, the Cousins camp came to the Vikings and said, because they did talk and said, here's what we want. And the Vikings said, hard pass. Let's put this on hold. But I have no problem, actually, with David's point. If Kirk Cousins comes back on the Vikings terms, if Kirk,
well, what does that mean though?
Well, so they say 2 years and X amount and they fill and the Vikings say, this is what we're going to give you. And Kirk says, absolutely. I love it. Then I have no problem with this.
See, I have a problem with the 2-year thing because the 2-year thing is going to be guaranteed across.
But I'm saying that if in my world, what I'm saying is the Vikings presentation might be a year guaranteed and then a second year like option of some sort, then he can come back.
So, and let's take, you like to do this and we'll do it. We'll take the Kirk Cousins name off of it. I want a 1 year bridge quarterback. That's what I want. I want a 1 year bridge quarterback and I want a drafted quarterback. And we could get into the weeds on like whether they should trade up into the top three or whether they should do what Thor was saying, which is just draft JJ McCarthy. The dude's awesome and he's younger. I don't want 2 years of Kirk Cousins, just like I don't want 2 years of really any, like there's only a few dudes I would consider right now where the Vikings are at, like a multi-year, more than 1 year of guaranteed money. So if Kirk wants to come back for 1 year, okay, that's awesome. Come on back for 1 year. I don't think there's any chance he's signing a contract with the Vikings that doesn't guarantee him at least 2 years.
Right.
And by the way, why would you want to lock somebody in, Kirk or anybody, for a bunch of money for 2 years and wipe out 40% of your rookie scale contract quarterback value? Like if it's between Kirk for 2 years and draft a quarterback, or Ryan Tannehill for 1 year, Jacoby Brissett for 1 year, give me the 1 year so I can just get into my rookie quarterback situation as quickly as possible.
In my opinion, the conversations have to start with the Vikings presenting Kirk what they deem to be fair and Kirk saying absolutely yes, which he's not going to. So that's the thing is the like David doesn't include the fact that Kirk Cousins, if he is going to bend in a major way, if Kirk Cousins, for the first time, it sounds like in his entire career, is going to get involved in the contract discussions. If he's going to call Mike McCartney and say, you know what, I'm going with you. We're going in TCO. And I'm gonna bend a ton. And Mike's like, that's not what we do, Kirk. And Kirk's like, but it is this time.
It is now.
Then I'll listen to it. And in the second year, non-guaranteed. It might even be an option of some sort.
Yep.
Then I'm on board.
I mean, the Vikings are in a spot where they need more pieces to build this thing out, right? Correct. They're not where they were 6 years ago roster-wise. And so they need help from him. They need him. If they're going to bring him back and they want to partner together and win a Super Bowl, they need him to not try and milk this thing for everything that the market would warrant.
And how many athletes in the time that we've been following sports here, how many athletes have you said, you know what the players think is like incredibly important? Kirby Puckett? Yes. Like this is a very small list and most of them most are championship caliber players, right? Mm. So like, I think it's so incredibly dangerous. Just as Kwesi said at the deadline last year, I surveyed the players and they all said, you know, don't make any moves. We can win.
Kevin Garnett wanted Joe Smith to come back on under the table.
Exactly.
Deal, right?
Like, so
LeBron James has stumped for a lot of bad coaches and, you know, bad role players.
That's why you have a GM. That's why the coach is not the GM, because you want to be, it's a ruthless business, man. You can't just be like, oh yeah, you love Kirk Cousins. Yeah, let's bring the Boy Scouts back. You know, we're going to keep the group together. Some point in time, you got to break up. Sorry.
Frank Marino says, super cool to have Thor Nystrom back for the attack.
Amen, brother.
A lot of good feedback on the return of Thor Nystrom. Thor Thursdays are going to be a thing. Yes. That was fun, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, by the way, like, some people were wondering, you know, did you guys like have to patch things? No, Thor had a great opportunity in the fall, and hopefully he gets more opportunities like that. We love having Thor during this draft season, and we'd love to do more with Thor. And so right now, we'll have some fun between now and the draft.
Now, I called him when he left, and we did get into a huge screaming match.
Oh, that was you guys. Okay.
A huge screaming match. And I mean, you know, nobody put this out there, okay? But it got nasty. And I'm going to tell you right now, Thor Thursdays could blow up at any time.
Oh, did you tell him Kansas football sucks? Is that what sparked the debate?
Well, I told him that. I told him a lot of things. Many of which I regret completely. Thor and I will be going on with our friend Andy Cohn to hash things out, probably.
Oh, Watch What Happens Live. You guys are going to jump
happens
on
live. I love Watch What Happens Live.
That's great.
More fun than
Never
the shows.
Know.
More fun than the show. It's not scripted at all, by the way.
We should do like a Score North Watch What Happens Live. It's like the after show to Purple Daily. Put in your applications for that. That could be fun. A Purple Daily post-game show. Maybe that's on the docket for this year. Andy Rep chimes in, says, do you guys think the Vikings have a problem identifying talent on the defensive side of the ball? I wonder if it's a scouting thing. The Vikings just never seem to be able to draft a guy on defense that's a solid contributor. Aside from getting lucky with Ivan Pace, they just seem to get these guys year in and year out. who never develop into anything other than an average guy. Bunch of Jags. It has been a while since they had a nice stretch there where they were hitting like Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr, Danielle Hunter.
I think it was certainly Rick deserves blame, but it was interesting that the decline in the last few years of Zimmer's defenses also, you know, like Jeff Gladney. You had Antoine Winfield Jr. staring you right in the face. And then the first Kwesi draft, I still think comes back to thinking that they were going to get guys who fit the Fangio / Donatel Bill of Goods system. And so Flores being back, I like a lot because I do think that there's probably now, from his perspective, a lot of say in that room. And if you go back when Zimmer was, when his defenses were clicking, that's what you guys are talking about. They were drafting some really good players. So
Xavier Rhodes. I mean, they were.
Unfortunately, I think Seen and Booth and that group, Asamoah, I think that there might be a problem where those guys were perceived to be really good fits for what Easy Ed was going to do. And it absolutely blew up. And it's going to be a problem. That remains.
Yeah, from like 2018 through 2020.
Yep.
Let's even go through currently through 2023. There's some encouraging rookies that were last year, but let's be honest. Outside of Josh Metellus and Ivan Pace was UDFA, who has been a hit in the draft defensively for the Vikings over like a 6-year period.
Yeah, and Mike Hughes.
Yeah, exactly. And he got hurt as well. But it feels like Mike Hughes is where the decline started defensively. Is that accurate?
Because before the 5 or 6 years before that, they actually 2017 was a really bad draft. It was Dalvin Cook and then like 9 dudes who gave you almost nothing. But from 2016, Jayron Kearse produced more for the Cowboys than the Vikings. Mackenzie Alexander. So 2015, Trey Waynes, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter.
Great
draft. Your first three picks in that draft. Wow. All three became really good starters. Mm-hmm. The year before that, Anthony Barr, really good starter. And then 2013, Xavier Rhodes, really good starter. 2012, Harrison Smith. So you had like a 4-year period where you nailed all these dudes and they all were emerging into their prime at the same time. Yeah, they need a hit on defense. They need like a defensive tackle hit or something this year. Let's see here. David Jurgensen says, instead of show us your cans, he sends us a picture of a show us your koozie. Had my bachelor party last weekend in Stillwater and used custom koozies as an unofficial shout out to Purple Daily. So I wish I should have sent Dex the picture, but it's these like Purple Daily koozies with just one before I die. And it's a wedding ring. Pretty clever.
I was going to say, my brother loves, like has, I'm not exaggerating, probably two dozen koozies in his drawer that he loves. Loves them. Absolutely loves a koozie.
I'm not a koozie guy, but.
I'm not either. I like the good sweat of a beer can. I don't know. And I some people don't like it, which that's why they want the koozie. I love a good sweat down that beer can.
You want to feel that beer perspiring into your hand. Yes. Absolutely. Your bare flesh. Props to my beautiful fiance, Molly, for helping to design them, even though she's a fan of that gross team across the river to the east. I faced a sad reality a few weeks ago during the NFC Championship game. Being born in 1990, every single NFC team during my lifetime has at least been to a Super Bowl, except for the Vikings and the Lions. And the Lions almost got off that list 2 weeks ago. Despite being at least competitive for so many years, it just goes to show how deprived this franchise has been. Add it to the list of reasons it's time to move on from Cousins and fill some holes in our roster. Just being good enough to get into the playoffs isn't going to get us the big dance. Only two Amen. NFC teams since 1990, Vikings and Lions. Wow. That's embarrassing.
And the last overall of the big four men's sports, the last championship came a year after that, and that's it. That's the other incredible thing. It's not just the Vikings.
Man, bunch of self-loathing Minnesota sports fans here. There's a bunch more we're going to get into, but let's shout out our friends at Livia here, Judd, helping Purple Daily listeners lose a bunch of weight and change their lives.
Yep. Like Sports Dad right there, a couple of years back, dropped 40 pounds. And They are now offering breakthrough weight loss medications in their center locations. Their new medical weight loss program offers what is called GLP-1 medications that will support you in overcoming those biological barriers that can make dropping weight so difficult. It's this simple. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com, Livia.com. That is your first step towards weight loss, and not just weight loss, but they're going to help you keep that weight off as well. Check them out. And again, this new program, they're very excited about, can help you as well. Livia.com.
Today, folks, the Minnesota Golf Show starts at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's today through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, Saturday at 2:00, we're going to do a live onstage podcast from the Minnesota Golf Show on the Josh Arnold Investment Stage from like 2 to 3:30. It'll be kind of a Mackie and Judd Purple Daily hybrid just for the live audience there. So tickets are very, very affordable at mngolfshow.com. And there's hundreds of vendors and all sorts of experiences and equipment. It's the Midwest's largest golf show. And we recommend you show up on Saturday. Come hang out with us. Recklessly speculate with us. Maybe cheers one, maybe two at 2:00 on Saturday. MNGolfShow.com, boys. Dex is going to show up like 4 hours early and just go buy golf belts, golf guy, is what he told us.
Mm-hmm. I need a putter cover. I got a nice belt there last year. I've gotten a jacket there before. It's legitimately one of my favorite things. So, yes, now that golf season is, I mean, you can golf now.
It's
40 degrees here in Minnesota. There was courses open this week, for God's sake.
Started 2 months ago, probably. They shut down for like 30 seconds.
Hopefully winter doesn't start in like April. That's what I'm worried that we're going to get. Some payback at some point, but we'll see. Let's see. Jordan Anderson says, we need a Tim the Toolman Taylor grunt as an occasional alternate sounder to the football one that you guys play.
Football.
When somebody says something super football-y.
That's not
you guys
bad,
watch
actually.
That show? Tim the little Home Improvement?
A little bit. Great show. Not a big fan.
Really?
Tim Allen, he's fine, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, that show, though, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You know?
That's right in your wheelhouse of youth, I feel like.
Like, I enjoyed Boy Meets World and, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but I was also really young. Like, I caught more of those reruns than I did. Like, I was too young to watch those when they were happening live, because that was, like, mid-90s, and I was born 92.
Yeah.
But I did watch, like, a good portion of, like, some of those shows. Like, even you guys are probably going to just disown me or be disappointed in me, but, like, Saved by the Bell missed me completely. Like, I've never really watched much of Saved by the Bell. I think you got to go back.
You got to go back at some point. Go binge that thing. It's a great show. In fact, if I could give you, like, just an impromptu, like, 90s comedy sitcoms, in no particular order, Saved by the Bell, Boy Meets World, I was a big Full House guy.
Yeah.
Big Full House guy.
Yeah, it was huge back then.
Mm-hmm.
Family Matters. Steve Urkel.
Watch some of those, yep. Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe Home Improvement on that list. Step by Step was another one.
Suzanne Summers.
Patrick
Duffy
from
Dallas.
I might go Step by Step in the mix there.
Now, to be clear, although I became a big Saved by the Bell fan, I never watched it on Saturdays because it was a Saturday morning show, right?
I think
then,
so.
It, yeah. And then it got into syndication.
TBS kind of took it into the
That's
afternoons.
Where I was going to say. So, like, Dex, you could catch up. Like, it's not like we all, I mean, hell, I was probably 22. It's not like we all watched it during its actual premieres. It just got into syndication, and it's one of those shows that's an earworm, right? Like, it gets in and you start to watch it, and then they do marathons. So, yeah, it's not like I was, I got to get up on Saturday morning, hungover as hell, but Saved by the Bell's on, which would have made me really, really weird.
I mean, you are really weird,
you
but
are
like
weird.
That would have made you,
well,
even
yeah, but creepy weird.
Hungover, by the
creepy,
way.
Creepy weird, though. Creepy weird. Now, the college years was in prime time.
Yeah, kind of failed. It's like one season.
That was Golic's brother.
Yep. And
Bob,
by the
right?
way, Bob, so one of our most fun radio shows, we had Bob, didn't, no, Mike, was Mike Golic was on our show, and then Bob was walking by.
Yeah.
And we gave Bob Golic a mic, and we had, like, the Golic brothers were just on the show at the same time.
And Bob's great. Bob's nuts.
Yeah. Bob's a little, Bob played in, like, the 80s, too, where
oh, yeah.
those helmets were a little thinner.
Browns, right? Know?
Was he Browns?
I think Bob was, because Mike was an Eagle, an Oiler, and a Dolphin, and I think Bob was a Brown.
Steve Eisenbray says, how about this reckless speculation? Okay, we'll give you the safe space here.
Reckless speculation.
As much as Jim Harbaugh brags up J.J. McCarthy, how about the Vikings trade for Justin Herbert and Harbaugh can draft his guy? I've seen some of this from Vikings Twitter and email here.
There's a problem here.
Well, the cap ramifications. Yes. I mean, the
he's
Chargers.
He's already being paid.
He's already being paid. And he might be above that line where I wouldn't mind. He's so good. If you get him with the right coach, some weapons, like I wouldn't mind paying him as much. But I think the Chargers would have so many cap penalties at this point because of all the bonuses and stuff that they've loaded in.
Sure.
So, plus, there's been a lot of rumblings that Jim Harbaugh loves Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I don't think you take that job to trade the quarterback who's there, who's considered to be ultra-talented and probably a victim to this point of poor coaching.
Yeah, and they're kind of in cap hell, too. So, would you sign up for cap hell and then trade Justin Herbert? Or, you could go anywhere else. Fun speculation, but until there's a credible report.
Oh, I love the effort.
Chargers are shopping Justin Herbert. Dylan Olson says, he first of all says, it's a pleasure being here to recklessly speculate with us and all of you
Dylan
Vikings fans. So,
right back at
reckless speculation.
He says, where the debate gets interesting about drafting a quarterback is how best to acquire the rookie quarterback. The smoke signals out of Egan suggest that Kwesi would be very aggressive potentially to get a top guy. I think that would be a mistake, and the reason why is the historical strength of this quarterback class. It's very rare to have five or six quarterbacks taken in the first round. I took the liberty of doing a little draft research to answer this question. If the NFL draft history, in the NFL draft history going back to 1936, it's only happened four times that five quarterbacks get drafted in the first round. 1983, 1999, 2018 and 2021. And he lists out, and we'll go back through. Lists out all the quarterbacks. If you take a look at these historically rich quarterback drafts, you'll understand why I oppose a trade up. The draft order in these quarterback rich drafts is basically irrelevant in determining which quarterbacks will hit. These could have been drawn out of a hat for all you care. Like, for instance, 1983. All right. There was six quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
Legendary draft.
This draft came up yesterday. It was the Roger Craig draft, right? Mm-hmm. Not the Marcus Allen draft. That was the year before. Roger Craig draft.
You whiffed on that.
John Elway was number one, but then Todd Blackledge was the second quarterback off the board. Jim Kelly was the third quarterback off the board. Dan Marino was the sixth quarterback off the board.
Yes.
So if you were to trade up to get Blackledge, like, you would have given up capital and you would have wound up with Todd Blackledge instead of Dan Marino. In 1999, the Vikings had the 11th overall pick.
They did.
Now, Tim Couch was number one. You could have traded up to get Donovan McNabb at number two, and it would have worked out. But if you would have traded up to number three to get Akili Smith, it would have been a train wreck. Instead, you stand pat, don't give up capital, and just let Dante Culpepper fall into your lap, right?
Yep.
And then more recently, 2018, there was five quarterbacks drafted. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold were in the top three. Josh Allen went seventh. And then Josh Rosen was 10th. Lamar Jackson was 32nd. So maybe he's onto something here that, hey, there's going to be like five quarterbacks in the first round, potentially. Mm-hmm. It's possible that like the second and like Drake May's a bust, but you know, JJ McCarthy is a stud. So why give up two future first round picks to gamble that way?
Well, and what's intriguing about that as well is, like, if what Thor is saying is correct, and Thor is plugged in, and it sounds like that the league's opinion of McCarthy is much different than the experts outside or the fans. So, like, it sounds like there is a lot more steam that McCarthy's a top 10 to 11 pick.
Yeah.
It also sounds like Penix is like a day two or three pick. Bo Nix sounds like a guy who the media thinks is going to go first round for sure and might not. So, like, these are all interesting things, but there is definitely I don't think the steam that occurs outside of the league itself with people trying to predict, I don't think that's always as spot on as we probably assume. The interesting one to me right now is this, because we're not to the combine yet, and we're certainly not to pro days, is this Drake May fall. Like, I can't decide if that's real or is that outside noise.
What's the, I haven't seen him falling a whole lot past like third though.
No, but it was like a close 1-2, Caleb and Drake. And some people I think had a Drake and Caleb, but I mean, they were as tightly locked as you could possibly be. Mm-hmm. And now it sounds like he's the third QB. It's an intriguing dance because you never know what's real.
Yeah, it is. And again, like, this is great research, man. I'll give you one more of these drafts. 2021. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of these guys. Like, Trevor Lawrence went number one. But then Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. None of those guys have been gangbusters. But you could argue that Justin Fields is clearly better than Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson was the number two overall pick. Justin Fields was 11. We got to get up to the top three to get Zach Wilson, right? And give up two future first round picks.
Yep.
Or not. Or you could just chill and let the draft come to you and pick Justin Fields. So it makes you think about, do you really want to give up a bunch of capital to move? How sure are you that Jaden Daniels is going to be better than JJ McCarthy? Is it worth two future first round picks? That's the question.
I think the interesting point is this, though. How many of these guys' career trajectories are different if they're not put into dumpster fires?
Yeah,
Zach Wilson was taken by a team that's hell on earth.
Well, Trey Lance is the ultimate, like, wow, that's a smart organization.
Yeah, you're right.
That moved up, they gave up a bunch, and to be able to absorb that whiff and still be in the Super Bowl
a couple
years later is unbelievable.
It's incredible. And to move off that whiff as quickly as they did.
Yep.
That's the other, that takes some serious cojones and confidence in yourself to go to the guy that owns that team and is like, you know what, I'm sorry we gave up all this capital, but quite frankly, the guy we took in the seventh round 2 years ago is far superior, so let's just move on.
Well, how about this? Because I think it was the next year is when they drafted. They weren't drafted in the same draft, right? It was Trey Lance was 2021, and then Purdy was 22,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And apparently, in the summer of 2022, so Purdy had just gotten there. He'd gone through, like, the rookie camp, the OTAs, mini camp. And I think Jed York, the owner of the Niners, told the story that Shanahan came up to him during one of the practices. He's like, Brock Purdy is our best quarterback. I know it's crazy. He's only been here. He was the last pick.
Saying that.
He's been here for, like, 2 days.
Yes.
So Gareth Phillips says, if what Thor says is true and J.J. McCarthy is the guy to take at 11, do you see the Vikings signing a running back like a Saquon Barkley? You have some extra money maybe to play with. He's a more versatile back than Corum was at Michigan and could provide a game-changing weapon in the passing game for a young quarterback. If the Vikings go that route, I hope to see them get some great trench players as well. Would love to hear your thoughts about Saquon Barkley in free agency.
I love this guy. It's a very small list of guys that I would consider paying. The unfortunate thing is it's his second contract, which in most cases is absolutely fine. In running backs cases scares me more.
Yeah.
He's had injury problems. I would very much consider this, but if he is intent on trying to reestablish the market for his position, which became a big talking point last year, I'm not going to be the team that does that. So again, it's got to sort of be on my terms, but yeah. I love this guy, man. I love this guy. He stands out and he can do all of the things that you want now.
You know, and do they want to go get a veteran like that, or even Tony Pollard, who doesn't obviously have as many touches as Saquon? Do they want to just take the day two, day three type of running back? But I think this is also a real look in the mirror situation for Kevin O'Connell that we looked over those stats even too, not just as the head coach of the Vikings. When he's an OC, his teams do not effectively run the football. Like, there is enough sample size, to say that Kevin O'Connell is not effective at running the football. Those offenses are not. So, does that come down to player? Does that come down to scheme? Does that come down to having a veteran that's washed up? So I think it's more of a KOC problem than it is. It's just plugging in Saquon Barkley or plugging in day two pick. It's definitely a Kevin O'Connell problem.
Yeah, I listen, like if the Vikings were in a position kind of like the Niners were when they traded for Christian McCaffrey, we've almost gone too far now as football fans and media just completely dismissing running backs. Like when you put a McCaffrey in that offense, it can be a huge boost, right? It can make you an actual Super Bowl contender. But I think it has to be more of a final piece to a puzzle. And so if you're the Vikings and you've, you know, you're like 12th or 13th in cap space, you know, you got like $19 million in cap space and you got a gigantic hole on your defensive line. You need a left guard. I would be looking to fortify trenches more before I'm signing a Saquon Barkley. I'm trying to look at teams that have a bunch of cap space and could maybe use a Saquon Barkley as the final piece to a puzzle. Like the Bengals have a ton of cap space. Now they have Joe Mixon. He's 27 years old and still pretty good. So I don't know that makes sense. But who's the team that has cap space that could pay him $12 million a year, 14, whatever it is? I mean, dude, the Texans have $54 million in cap space.
Oh, Texans are sitting pretty right now, man. Mm-hmm. Texans are sitting pretty. The one thing that I want, along with the actual threat of a run game, though, and it's almost more important to me, is a running back in a scheme that can give you a screen game back. The lack of a screen game to me is one of the most confusing things. Like Kevin O'Connell, his play calling and coaching style screams, I can run a screen. And the Vikings are inept at it. I didn't know it was so difficult to run a screen until I saw this team try, and it looks like a clown car.
It's a very finesse, nuanced play, you know?
Oh,
it's
clearly.
I don't think Kirk always feels comfortable because, you know, you got to let the defense kind of come at you, and I don't know that it's ever been his. It's different than a check down, though, you know?
I know. That was just a shot. I'd like to apologize. That was an unnecessary shot.
Complete drive-by.
God, I'm being a jerk right now.
Sharif Stafford says, with some lackluster reports on the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, I'm curious how you guys feel about potentially punting on drafting a quarterback this year if we can't get one of the top three. Improve the roster this season, free up some cap space for 2025, and then start looking at Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, etc. in next year's draft. Let me take this and paint it even further. How would you feel if Kirk signed with the Falcons, the Vikings signed Gardner Minshew for 2 years, and it was Gardner Minshew, Nick Mullins, and it was Jaren Hall is your quarterback room, and you spend your draft edge rusher in the first round, defensive tackle, like trenches and vegetables. How would you feel about that?
I'd be fine with it. Well, I'd be absolutely fine with it.
It would be the first time in a very long time where the Vikings would go into a season with pretty low expectations. And I don't know if the Wilfs would be able also to stomach that. Now, I like the idea of building up still your roster, taking a lump in 2024, to maybe get your future quarterback in 2025. But I'm trying to maybe like 2010, 2011 Vikings. I'm trying to remember the last time where they just knew, hey, this is going to be a transitional phase for the first time in a very long time.
Well, I just saw a comment here too, a couple of them saying it's a no because you don't want to waste Justin Jefferson. Well, I would say a couple of things. What have they been doing the last few years?
I'm tired of this.
It's not about his stats. It's about winning, right? When you say waste Justin Jefferson, are we hanging a banner? Because he gained 1,800 yards, but they got beat by the Giants in a home playoff game. And I will say, okay, Gardner Minshew, not on the level at all of Kirk Cousins. So let's start there. But Michael Pittman Jr. caught 109 passes for 1,152 yards and like missed a game or two with injuries last year for the Colts. So like Justin Jefferson would still put up, as he said on Radio Row yesterday, would still put up 1,400 some yards, right? With pretty much any top 35 quarterback in the world throwing to him.
Can I tell you guys right now, because this came up with Kaprizov a couple of years back, same exact thing, okay? And now it's Jefferson. Ladies and gentlemen, these guys want to get paid. And if they don't want to be here, it's largely has nothing to do with wins and losses. It might be because they want to play in Los Angeles or New York or somewhere else. But this notion of, oh, you've got to build, I mean, Justin Jefferson, you go balls to the wall every year to try and win because of Justin Jefferson. Go back and listen to what he is saying this week in Vegas. He wants to break the bank. If he breaks the bank, he is not going to immediately then say, but Kirk's gone and now I want out of here. Like, this has to do with their money. This has to do with where they live. If he doesn't like it here, he's going to want out. Does he want to win as a result? Absolutely. They all do. But there's this, like, notion that it all comes down to you've got to do everything you can. So every year, your position. That's not how sports works. It's not how it works, unfortunately. You're not going to be positioned every year. This team has far too many holes to just be like, well, if we keep Kirk and Justin Jefferson is happy, that's great. No, it's not great. But Justin Jefferson wants to win a Super Bowl. How do you do that? You build a team around him that's more than just one guy coming back who you think he likes.
That's the thing. It's like he's been here for 4 years. And this notion now that, like, well, you better be careful because if you don't bring Kirk back, you're going to be wasting Justin Jefferson's career. Well, he's had Kirk for 4 years and they haven't won a playoff game.
Correct.
Justin Jefferson has not been a part of a winning playoff game. He's only played in one playoff game in 4 years.
Yes.
So they're wasting him now. Like, to me, you're only perpetuating wasting him by continuing to try and do sort of the same thing on offense. So
yes. And the thing too is, and I keep saying this and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. If Justin Jefferson doesn't have a contract by training camp, he ain't showing up. So like there's no, if you're going to have to trade him, if he's going to force his way out, it's going to be this summer. There's this notion that he's going to play next year and then become a free agent and leave you. This is football. Dude just missed, what, seven games? Six
games?
This is football. He's not going to come back and play. You think he's going to risk his career, his livelihood? He's in for a enormous payday.
Yeah. And you could be, too, on Underdog Fantasy this weekend.
Super Bowl picks, baby. We got Super Bowl picks here. Let's ride this one. You can also get in on this and fade my pick or make it with me as well in the YouTube comment section or obviously the podcast audience too. You can go to Underdog Fantasy promo code SCORE. Travis Kelce has hit his receiving yards prop like in 8 straight playoff games. I'm gonna ride Isaiah Pacheco too. They're gonna ride him with rushing attempts. And can George Kittle a little extra boost? Find himself in the end zone on Sunday, too. You can make these picks on Underdog Fantasy. Promo code SCORE, S-K-O-R. They'll match your first deposit up to $100. Shout out to Underdog Fantasy for supporting Purple Daily here on
Amen.
Score.
Amen. Amen. Also, Zero Res is here to support your house by cleaning it very deeply. That's what they specialize in. When's the last time you did something other than just like vacuum and a light dusting? Huh? How about a full deep clean? How about 3 rooms, Zero Resified, starting at just $119 and a free hallway? That's what you get when you ask for the Score North special. And this month, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North special and spell it forward or backward. It spells the same. Zero Res.
Football.
2 more quick ones here for you guys. Josh Salvino says, Judd speaks a lot on how KOC was brought here to identify a quarterback of the future. I've looked over a lot of press conferences since KOC was hired. I haven't heard one time that this was stated by him or Kwesi that they are going to find a quarterback of the future. I have no problem admitting if I missed something, but would love to know where Judd gathered that exact idea.
Because he is a offensive guy who played QB. And I think I responded to this guy when he sent this. Okay. He has not talked about replacing Kirk because you aren't ordinarily going to give chapter and verse about replacing Kirk while Kirk is here. But my response was this: Kirk Cousins is going to be 36 in August. Okay. So do you really think he was that O'Connell, who's not that much older than Kirk, was brought here to just see Kirk through his entire career? Like, he is, you're going to have to identify a quarterback of the future. And Zimmer was a defensive guy who clearly struggled there and unfortunately couldn't stand Kirk. So to me, as my dad used to say, this one's common sense. He was brought here to identify a quarterback. If Kirk was 26,
I
then
mean,
yes.
At some point, but I don't think it was like, hey, they're shaking hands as the ink dries on the contract. Now get to work. finding that new quarterback ASAP. I think it was, how long can you milk Kirk and get the most out 100%. Of Kirk, right?
Yes, yes. But it wasn't going to be like infinity. It wasn't going to be that long.
Like, unless, they're going to have to replace there's some Kirk great here. Medical advances now. Maybe there's, have you seen that movie Death Becomes Her where you take that potion? No. Goldie Hawn back in the day.
I remember hearing about, I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, you take a potion and you basically live forever. You like your body and your, like everything kind of pauses in time and you're, and that's what we need, a potion so Kirk can live forever. 36 years old. Kirk O'Chain.
Just stay like.
He can be the Vikings quarterback in 2057.
Come back. Wow, imagine. So like he eventually will, there will be a day where he'll have been paid $1 billion by the Vikings then.
Oh, yeah. Well, and with like inflation and the cap going up, you know, that will,
he'll own the team.
That'll happen pretty soon.
He'll own. So no offense. I didn't mean to sound that condescending. But
a little condescending.
Yeah, no, it did. And I'd like to apologize for that. I didn't mean that. But Kevin O'Connell was brought here to identify a quarterback to replace Kirk eventually, unless you think he's going to be fired.
Or to find a potion of some kind. Chuck Tritton says, y'all need to get Kyle Sloter on the show. So Kyle Sloter has a YouTube film breakdown channel now.
He's prolific.
We should get him on the show sometime.
Absolutely.
He was like one of the most popular. Have we used him on Random Viking yet? We should add Kyle Sloter to the list.
No, we have not.
Did he ever actually play in an NFL regular season game?
No.
Not here, he didn't.
He was Tom Brady at preseason football, though.
Zim.
He was.
I don't think Zim liked him at all, so I think that played part of a role.
Yeah, he never quite got into a game, but he does have a YouTube channel. Maybe we will get him on sometime this offseason so he can tell us some things about the Vikings quarterback room.
Absolutely. All right. So He's got a channel. JT O'Sullivan still has one, right? Mm-hmm.
JT O'Sullivan has one of the biggest film breakdown channels, the QB School.
It's good.
Yep. He crushes, man. He does a great job. Yeah, he did a bunch of He's done a bunch of Kirk. He did a Jaren Hall breakdown or two that showed you some things, both good and bad.
We have used JT on Random Viking the Week. We have used JT. Mm-hmm. I gave you guys that one.
I remember that. I think I got that one.
Congrats.
I think I got that one. Thank you very much. Thank you. I took a lot of pride in that win because I covered him.
Yep. All right, boys. That's a wrap here on this Feedback Friday edition of Purple Daily. Don't forget, come hang out with us at the Minnesota Golf Show, Minneapolis Convention Center, Saturday, tomorrow at 2:00 for just a little podcast fun with some golf atmosphere. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Try not to be too triggered on Sunday.